You're probably asking yourself the same question I am. Why in the world is he preaching tonight? As I heard all those men give testimony, I'm humbled by the fact that I get this honor. Pastor Van Gelderen brought me up from Florida, grew up in South Carolina. I speak English as a second language. I'm probably the single worst administrative pastor they've ever had here on staff. I can't spell, couldn't type, and yet I'm typing out all these outlines for these kids every week. And I learned, I took typing in high school, but typing and learning typing is two different things. And I wasn't very good at all that stuff, but Pastor brought me here, took a chance on me, mainly because his dad told him he had to bring me up here. I remember sitting in his office. I felt like a duck out of water. I grew up in South Carolina. I'm used to people saying amen when you preach, you know, and you guys. I've seen you at football games when the Packers play. I'm thinking, why in the world can't we get that excited about the Lord? I don't know. I'm just thinking. Amen, preacher. Go ahead. Thank you. I appreciate that. He brought me up here and really gave me a heart for ministry. I learned a valuable lesson from him. I remember him saying this, just like ministry is not what you do for your people. It's what you enable your people to do for Christ. And that thought changed my life. There's no reason in the world someone like me should have ended up here on staff. But God is good. He allowed me to watch a man walk with Christ. And I want to echo what you said about your wife. I can't tell you how many times I was discouraged. And she said, Brother Smith, are you okay? If you'd stop drinking that Diet Coke, you'd probably be better. Here, I've got some mushroom tea for you. It'll help you out quite a bit. But her spirit is always the same. And how many times you encouraged me when I was discouraged. I went to Pastor Van Gelder's office one day. I was dying. I said, I don't know why I'm here. I can't do this anymore. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm trying to be fallsish. Everybody here is so smart. I'm just a hick. And I'm not really sure what my role is. And he said simply, just be yourself. And I said, no, you don't want that. But he said, no, that's why you're here. And he put me at ease. I thought, why am I here to preach tonight? I mean, there are some incredible men that have been through here. I'm humbled by that thought. You hear Dr. Nelson and Dr. Bob and all these men of fundamentalism who shared their testimonies tonight. But in reality, I think I'm kind of a picture of his heart. He took a young man that had no confidence in God, wasn't really sure what he was going to be able to do for Christ. And he emboldened me that our God was able. And he sent me out with a confidence in what God was able to do for him, he could do for me too. And so while English is still my second language, I'll do the best I can tonight. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and toot Pastor Van Gelderen's horn tonight. It's been blown enough. I'm a preacher. And I'm just going to preach at all of you. Because quite frankly, I don't believe God's finished yet. Amen. I believe that there's much more that God has for us to do today. I don't think this is a funeral. I don't think this is a time to where we just come and think about all the great things that have happened. Because as far as I know, our God is still on the throne today. And Pastor Van Gelderen's still here. And quite frankly, looks more alive than I've seen him in a long time. He looks good, doesn't he? I mean, he's skinny, he's smiling, he's happy. And I'm going to tell you, he still believes God sits on the throne. And we still have a purpose and a mission here. And by the grace of God, I hope that you realize it's the rapture has not taken place yet. And God has more for you to do. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. As Joshua is coming here, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets and ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Tonight, I want to speak just a little bit on there's still more walls to come down. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, you know I'm inadequate to do this evening. But Father, we serve a great God, and if you will allow us to be submissive to your Spirit and obedient in your word, you can do something in this service tonight. And I pray, Father, you'd speak through me. And I pray tonight we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, in our story, you can imagine the situation. Here, Joshua and the children of Israel are going into their first battle. And you're the leader of this group, and God gives you this battle plan. All right, Joshua, this is the first plan. You're going to walk around this enemy 7 days, and on the 7th day, you're going to walk around them 7 times. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. And don't shoot. Don't fire, just walk and be quiet. You ever try to get a church to be quiet? No, I'm just saying, that's what God told. Now, you're Joshua, and that's what you're told to do, and you go back and tell your men of war that. This is the plan I have from God. We're going to march around this city, and we're going to do it every day for 7 days, and on the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. Great, when do we shoot? You don't. You're just going to walk and be quiet. So that's what they did. I apologize to those watching on streaming because I'm going to do something. So 7 times. Shh, not a word. Now, I would normally walk around the auditorium, but we don't have an hour, so it'd take me a while to do. But let's imagine 7 times. And the horn blow and the people went, ah! I don't know what they shout. It could have been, praise the Lord, I don't know. But the wall fell flat. The first elevator known to man. It didn't say it crumbled. It said it fell flat. Now, something we need to understand about this wall, and the problem we can see with this wall is this. This wall was 6 foot thick and about 20 foot high. The outer wall. The inner wall was about 12 foot thick and 30 feet high. Between the walls, there was a walkway about 15 foot wide. Israel's problem, this was the city they were supposed to conquer. There was extremely huge walls in the way. Now, I'm going to tell you, as Falls Baptist Church began here, there have been some extremely large walls in the way. There have been some obstacles that have had to be faced. There have been some trials that have had to go through. There have been some difficulties. There have been some funding issues. There have been for years some land issues. And over again, by the leadership of God's man here, how many times have we seen walls fall flat? Just amazing story. One after the other, after the other, how you've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You've seen God do the miraculous over and over again. And I would have loved to have been there when Israel saw those walls fall flat. And as you continue this ministry here, no doubt there will be more walls in the way. There will be more obstacles to come. Perhaps we would like to see what God's going to do with the next wall. All around this city, there are walls that people put up to try to keep you from giving them the gospel. Trying to deflect your testimony and your words. But we serve a God who in the past, who in the present, and in the future can tear down those walls. We must learn to look upon our obstacles not as dead ends, but as opportunities. The Apostle Paul had such an obstacle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had a thorn in his flesh and begged God 3 times to remove it. Now, can I be honest with you? In my mind, I'm thinking, if anybody's going to have a prayer answered, it's Paul. I mean, this gentleman wrote 2/3 of our New Testament. Had an amazing walk of Christ. And he went before the Lord 3 times and begged the Lord to take the thorn out of his flesh. And God, all 3 times, said no. You know, that's an encouragement to us. You know, when God says no, it's an answer. And it's just like our God to remind him, I'm not removing the flesh, but the thorn, but my grace is sufficient for thee. There will be obstacles that will be in your way. This world does not like what you're trying to accomplish here. But God's grace is sufficient. The attitude is somewhat foreign to us tonight, unless we've seen the power of God and see what God has done and realize what God can do. One of the greatest accomplishments that you've given every member, every person that's ever been here, is that you've shown them what God can do. You made God come alive before my eyes. You look beyond the limitations of individuals, and you've showed them the ability of Christ. For years, I used to say, you ever heard this? God will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that? It's wrong theology. God will often put us in situations and circumstances that are beyond our ability. When you get results back from a doctor that says your child has a brain tumor, and we've been there, that's beyond what you can handle. And you come up in situation, and I almost used to feel, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be able to handle this, but this is more than I can handle. But can I tell you, there are many times in Scripture where God brought His people into situations that was more than they could handle. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he came to the Red Sea, can I submit to you, the Red Sea was more than he could handle. But he just raised a stick, and God parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Old country preacher was preaching one day, and this theologian said, you realize the Red Sea was only about this deep when Moses parted it? And the country, woo, glory to God. Hey, man, that's wonderful. He said, wait a minute. I said, it was this. He said, I know. Can you believe God drowned an entire Egyptian army in that much water? Listen, our God can part the Red Sea. When David was in front of Goliath, I submit to you, Goliath was more than David could handle. It had nothing to do with a sling or a stone. But when he let that stone go, Goliath came tumbling down. Why? Because Goliath was nothing to his creator. God is on the throne. I'm going to tell you today, there will be times that just like Joshua, your pastor will come to you and say, this is the direction God wants us to go in. Now you can imagine Joshua's men hearing his battle strategy. We're going to walk around our enemy for 7 days. And on the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times, and we're just going to be quiet. Sir, that doesn't make any sense. Are you sure about that? I mean, you do know that they're going to be on the wall and could shoot us? Sir, how do you know this? God told me. Whew. Are you sure? Yes. Listen to me. I'm going to give you deep southern theology right here. When God's man hears from God and gives you direction, even when it doesn't make sense, if you will follow God's man, you will receive great blessing. Listen, the battle strategy in Jericho made no sense, but it's what God told them to do. And we told his men what they were going to. They did it, and they saw the wall come down. And by the grace of God, he'll do that for you. They didn't have a problem. They had a promise. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Ooh, isn't it something to go into something and know you're going to win? I used to coach. I was not very tense. I was a very calm and mild-mannered and loving coach. But can you imagine what it'd be like to go in a game and somebody, you're going to win? Can I ask you a question? Did not God let you read the last chapter? If you didn't, can I share a good surprise for you? We win! And I know sometimes in this life, we may lose a battle here or there. It may look like we're in despair. It may look like we're falling backwards. But at the end of time, when Jesus sits on the throne, we'll be with him saying, oh, thank God for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I'm glad Jesus is my Savior. And we'll sing the songs that angels can't sing. We've been redeemed. We have that promise. And I've got this promise, not just from me, from the Word of God, that when you obey God and you do what God says, God keeps his word. He told them, you're going to win. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in obedience to Christ. We have a promise that our battles have been arranged by the Lord. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We have a promise that our ability is only limited by our lack of faith. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I've seen God do amazing things for my family. You know, I've never been surprised when I've seen God do great things for other people. When Pastor Van Gelderen says, God gave us a bus, I said, doesn't surprise me. God gave us the land it's paid for. Yep, it doesn't surprise me. Because I think God, Pastor Van Gelderen is somewhere up here in the hierarchy, and I'm someone down here. So it's never surprised me when God does things for people. And then a couple of years ago, I'm praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. The church I'm at, we don't own a home. My health was not good. My kidneys were failing. I've got a mild form of leukemia. I was a diabetic, still am type 2, and physically I wasn't doing well. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I started trying to find a church that maybe could take care of my family because I don't even have Social Security. I'm thinking, what in the world are we going to do? I got 3 or 4 churches that called, and I begged God to let me call them back, and he kept saying no. And can I be honest with you? I got a little frustrated. And I said, Lord, you know on what I make, I can't buy a house. He said, I didn't ask you to. I did ask you to pastor here. And I said, okay. But I didn't mean it. And then about a year later, I was just confirmed, this is where God wants me to be. This is what God wants me to do. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do the best I can. A year later, God gave us a house. me. And not just a house. It's a mansion for us. I mean, we have a master bedroom with its own bathroom. The master bedroom is bigger than all three of our previous bedrooms put together. We have a closet that I can walk in. I never knew what a walk-in closet meant. We can walk in our closet now. And God did that for me. And I'm not really anything special. But I serve a special God. Amen. Who can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And all those promises that God gives us in His Word is not just for certain people, it's for all God's people. God loves you. We have the promise of ongoing victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the promise that we will never fight alone. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As we face the walls that are coming up, we have promises from God. There's no way we can quit or be afraid. We're on the winning side. Some of you tonight may be battling against some walls spiritually in your life tonight. And maybe you're discouraged. And maybe you feel like, I can't do this. And maybe you feel like, I'm trying as hard as I can. And it just seems like the harder I try, the more I feel, I can't do that. Can I tell you what? You're right at the place you need to be. For years, I had the Christian life wrong. I thought it was about all I could do and all the effort I put in, and somehow if I worked hard enough and did that people would be happy with me and like me, and God would love me. And I would try hard and work hard at something, and it would fail, and I'd say, well, I got to try harder next time. And I learned here in a holiness conference that the Christian life is not about struggle and effort. It's about surrender. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The greatest place you can be in your life is when you say, I can't, because that's when God can. In verse 6 through 21, we see Israel prevailed. They won. You've seen that here. Oh, what a glorious thing when we can rejoice in the victories God gives. And that really is what tonight's about. Listen, Pastor Van Gelderen is one of my heroes. I've told him that. There's not a time, every one of those young men said, I've called him, he has not picked up the phone or called me back. And I only call him when there's trouble. I mean, I tell him, I don't want to bother you, so I only call you when I'm just at the end and have no earthly idea what to do. He said, oh, you can call me anytime. I said, no, you're busy. So when he sees my number, he said, oh, what's Sean got himself into now? But he answers that call every single time. And every time, I'm reminded that God is able and He can. There are some scenes in Scripture I'd love to be a part of. I hope when we get to heaven, there'll be a screen where God will just let us see some of them. Now, that might not be theological, but it's okay. I'm from the South. We can do that every once in a while. But I'd love to watch in high definition the Lord let us see that when the children of Israel shouted, that those walls just went whoosh, whoosh. Could you imagine the faces of their enemies? Whoa! If our God could do that for Joshua, I think it's fair to say nothing is too hard for him. The days ahead are not going to get easier. But God will still be stronger than any day ahead we face. In Christ, you'll prevail. And there'll be more walls come down. And I'm excited to see what the next ones are going to be. There's some reasons why Israel experienced victory. They heard from God. They believed God. They acted by faith, and they did it God's way, and God gave victory. And that is the secret to ministry here. You have a man who is one of the most humble preachers I've ever met in my life, who hears from God. And he shares God's word to you because he believes it. And by faith, he responds to what God tells him to do. And by the grace of God, he tries his best to do it God's way. And because of that, Falls Baptist Church, you have seen walls come down. And what's our response? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I don't know what the walls are going to be tomorrow, but I know this: God's able to knock them down. I don't know what the problems or difficulties are in your life this evening, and I would not want to minimize them one bit. But I do know this: the God of heaven is able to help you where you are and get you to where you need to be, because he loves you. The success as Falls Baptist Church has been simple. It's not hard to understand. It's not because you have the greatest preacher in America. It's not because you have the greatest pastor in America. It's not because you have the best people in America. It's not because you have the greatest school and the best music program and the greatest staff this country's ever seen. Falls Baptist Church is what it is because by his heart, your pastor has brought Christ to you, and he's let him have the preeminence. I thought all day, what would your dad want me to say? And I thought of his last life verse, that Christ might have the preeminence. The secret here is the secret in every situation where churches have prospered in our country. It's Jesus. Now, you have a man of God who's followed the Lord and has led this place to so many victories over the years. When's the last time you thanked him? When's the last time you said, "Pastor, I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for what you've done for me and my family." God's given you a man of God that loves you. Have you told him how much you love him? Have you told him how much you appreciate him? You see, tonight, my invitation's simple. I want you to see what Jesus has done in this place. And I want you to tell your pastor, "Thank you." How many of you here tonight have been saved as a result of the direct ministry of Falls Baptist Church? Whew. Do you know many churches you wouldn't see this many hands, preacher? Most of them come from somewhere else. You have much to be thankful for. Take it from a hick in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina who's been shown that even in his life, God is able. And to the point that I believed it, because I had seen it in his life. I've seen God do the miraculous, and now by the grace of God, I've seen God do miracles for me. Why? Because God's not a respecter of persons. It's not about me. It's about him. So we close our eyes and bow our heads.